And welcome to AFL Tonight. I am your host, Tim Capper. Welcome to week three of the AFL season and show number three of the 2007 season also. Well, we all had some interesting games to watch this weekend. We also had our first taste of ESPN's version of arena football. Excuse me, Russell Athletic. AFL on ESPN on a Monday night, whatever they're calling it. And it was actually a pretty good game. I mean, a game went into overtime, had everything that was needed. There were just some things that were brought up about the game and quirks and stuff, but we'll talk about that also. We're also going to bring up what we talked about last week about the Iron Man issue, and is it a token award that they give out each week, or whether it be for that or for the games or whatnot, but something we'll get to. Also, something we touched on last week, we were talking about the new rules, substitution rules. Are they a good thing? Are they a bad thing? What have they affected the most? And we'll get to that in quite a, pretty big detail that we've seen over the past 2 weeks. Now, everything is, as I said, it's only 2 weeks, but also some very interesting information, needless to say. Also coming up on the show, as usual, we got our Week 3 preview and the AFL Tonight Pick of the Week. Magic 8 Ball Week 2, that damned black ball. Can us humans get a little bit of a lift or a little bit of a head of this damn thing? Also some interesting information, news that came from our old television partner, AFL and NBC, quite an interesting thing that popped up on Sunday night, for any of you who happen to be watching television that night. And something that we usually go over, we'll bring up from time to time, salaries. Everybody seems to have a lot of questions when it comes to salaries, but we're going to try something different with the information that we have been provided. This week, we are going to be going over the top 10 paid quarterbacks in the AFL, and also our choice, or choices, for the biggest steal when it comes to quarterbacks in the AFL. First thing we want to go in and get with within the show, something came across the wire. Just anybody who happens to be heading out to New Orleans this year for Arena Bowl 21, the league has now finally gotten the tickets readily available. Remember, anybody who was in Las Vegas for the past 2 years knew it was through the UNLV site. I think that was controlled by the Thomas and Mack Center. But now, the league has gone ahead and done a pre-sale through the end of this week. So, if I'm not mistaken, it's through the 18th. Pre-sale is now available on Ticketmaster.com. A link can be gotten through many assortment of places. One good thing I like about it is, me personally, being to Vegas the past 2 years and being at Arena Bowl, people were only able to get the souvenir ticket or the souvenir card stock by actually going ahead and calling the league or doing it through their getting their packages or whatnot. Myself, buying it through UNLV tickets, basically had to have the old generic ticket that was given out. Well, for the pre-sale, and as far as I know, this is only through the pre-sale that the league is doing this, it actually states that they're not going to be sent out until mid-June because they're actually going to be putting them on souvenir card stock. I think it's a great idea. I mean, more than the game itself, you're actually able to bring home a souvenir that you're willing to pay anywhere from $12 at the New Orleans Arena up to the maximum of $175 or $125 that are really available, the seats that are available for Arena Bowl. And I know there are a couple. There is a thread specifically over in our chat room, over in our message boards at arenafan.com that's dedicated specifically to information you need to know on how to get to New Orleans, get your room, get your tickets, and join one of the biggest parties of the year. What am I saying? It's Arena Football! It's Arena Bowl 21! It's the biggest party of the year. What's Super Bowl? What's that? Grey Cup? Ah! That's Canada! Yeah. It'll be a party, needless to say. You know, Mardi Gras atmosphere. Join your Arena Football fans in New Orleans. So, head over to any of the couple sites, or head over to Ticketmaster specifically, get your tickets. The only thing that I really hate, and this is something that, you know what, you're in a world where you want to make as much money as possible. Of course, you have your infamous Ticketmaster, or some people are calling it Ticket Scalper, etc., etc., etc. You know, any derogatory term that you can think of. Depending on how much you spend on your ticket, they're actually charging you a quote-unquote convenience charge. Now, the only catch is you're going to have to pay this up front when you buy your tickets. The only way that you possibly could get around it is if you know somebody who lives in New Orleans or the New Orleans area to be able to go to the box office directly and buy the tickets. But then again, you may not get the special quote-unquote card stock, a souvenir card stock for these tickets that they're going to be printing. But if you're willing to fork out the money, I mean, I think for $125 tickets for Arena Bowl, the service charge is like $9.25 per ticket. Per ticket. And, whoa, yes, they're going to be sending at least they're going to not be charging you a fee to send you the tickets by mail. Whoa, it's a load off my mind. Anyways, you can't get around it. Anyways, we're talking about, before we get to this week's game, Orlando-LA on ESPN2, our former broadcast partner, NBC. Anybody who watches television on Sundays knows about The Apprentice. And I think it's just very interesting. Little tidbit that came out of it was that one of the contestants, and specifically this week's one of the project managers, project managers actually stated that she was a former Arena Football Arena Football Team employee. Obviously no plugs here or there, you know, for what team it was. And anybody who doesn't know, you know, who just watches indoor football may say, indoor football, you know, Arena Football. It's all one and the same thing. But it looks like that the person was working for the Miami Hooters. A little bit of research was done by our crack fans on the Arena Fan message boards. And she had done the halftime show. She had produced up to 30 halftime shows for the Hooters. And, needless to say, a little spoiler here, so cover your ears. She won, needless to say, because they were doing a halftime show for, an MLS game, in LA. And she happened to win that. But I thought it was pretty interesting, you know, give a little bit of a plug. I mean, it's a cheap plug, but you know what? The only people I think that they would really notice would be the people who watch Arena Football, and considering I was the one who posted the thing on the message boards, you know, I guess I was the only one who happened to notice it. But yeah, it's a topic starter. You know what I'm saying? Right. Tim, you just have no life whatsoever. Got to do some other stuff with your life on Sundays. What's that? Amazing Race is not on this week? God damn it. No, I'm just... AFL on ESPN premiere this week. You know what? Being one of the few people who do not have the ability to watch ESPN, not having it available in Canada, I was not able to watch the game. The good thing, I think, it, obviously, is the contract itself. I think the starting time may hurt a little bit. It's going to be all the games, as far as I know, are going to be starting at 7 o'clock. And if you want your West Coast fans to watch, they're going to have to leave work early and, you know, watch the game at 4. But other than that, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, if it's something that they have introduced, if they're trying to do technology, new technologies, you know how NBC tried stuff, you know, especially with the XFL and the Skycam and whatnot and on-field cameras, but they have done something, and I don't have a tape of the first broadcast that was on an ABC, but something that somebody has coined the term the clang effect of the footballs off the nets or off the irons. They're calling them posts, I think. But either way, it's a sound that whenever the ball comes close to hitting the nets or going off the irons, it's a sound that, I don't know if they're trying to just make it more than it is. Everybody remember the Fox tracker for the puck when Fox was doing the NHL? I don't know if it's as annoying as that, because, you know, that wasn't, you know, that was totally against, you know, you know, it was a great invention, but it didn't last that long. But I don't know. I said I'm going to have to give it a shot, try to be able to somehow watch the game next week, whether it be on, by somebody sends me the game or whatnot, and get my own impression of the quote-unquote clang effect. The great thing, though, about the game this week was the game went into overtime. I mean, so the highlights that I saw on ESPN were just, you know, it's really funny, the stuff that they made references to John Gruden, Jay Gruden. The only reason why I'm saying John is because they made a reference to him in the clip that's that can be seen on the website. But ticked, oh my word, you could tell that Jay was not a happy camper when it came to what happened, the way that his team was playing. But overall, you know, good for first game overtime. It made up, you know, made up for the horrible first game, at least for the East Coasters, of the AFL on ABC. But still, the bad thing was is that Jaws was the commentator again. They gotta get Mike and Mike back there. Hopefully they're gonna do at least one of the two games, not this week, but it won't be one this Monday, but they got two coming up the following week on the Thursday and a Monday nighter. But hopefully everything will get back to normal. Because I tell you, I don't know, Jaws just seems to cannot be able to do commentating. Yeah, he's just too happy. Get off the Ritalin, please. You gotta get off the Ritalin. Either way, great game, great debut, and that's what we're looking for when it came to the contract on ESPN.
ArenaFan.com, celebrating 10 years as the internet's complete arena football resource.
Now, quick tidbit about what we had brought up last week when it came to Iron Man. You know, is it an award that has sort of lost its luster? I don't know if the league is just trying to appease to all the purists or whatnot, but it's funny. Out of all the games that recorded a player, offensive and defensive player of the game, excluding one, the Chicago game, because there wasn't anything listed, at least as far as I see in the game book. Every one of them had an Iron Man of the game. I don't know if it's now a mandate from the league to go ahead and make sure that it's voted upon. As I said, I still think it's a token award, that the league is trying to say, hey, look, it's not really gone, but, we're still gonna have it anyways. So, I don't know. Maybe we can try and somehow get to the bottom of this here at AFL tonight, because, you know, it's, to me, right now, okay, we're 2 weeks in. Now everybody, every game is going to have them, but whatever. Token award. Well, we all know that there was a change with the substitution rules in the AFL this past season. You know, the infamous Elway rule, whatever they want to call it. You know, it was supposed to, you know, with this free substitution, it would allow for players that were healthier. They were going to be less fatigued. And it would allow the players to rotate in and out and possibly, you know, control the outcome. You know, and more or less was on the defensive side where this, you know, the way that we understood it, that it was to possibly bring scoring down. You know, there has been an effect because of the substitution rule. But it's not, I don't think it's actually what Elway and friends were thinking that it was going to be. In reality, the difference right now has been the kicking. The kicking in the AFL, especially when it comes to extra points, and when we mentioned it last show, but kicking extra points has usually been one of the stronger points of AFL kickers. You know, anywhere from Remy Hamilton, who is one of the best, Steve Vitatek, who is one of the league's best kickers also. Kickers this year, through 2 weeks at least, are having an atrocious time kicking extra points. And it's making the difference in some of the outcomes of these games. You know, you have games that are, you know, that are come down to the wire. You know, if you miss three extra points, which is becoming the norm, we even had one game where we had a kicker miss five out of 10 extra points. That makes a huge difference. So if I'm not mistaken, that game where they missed five, that caused the team to, you know, his team to lose. But we were looking at it last week. So if we go through week one, kicking wise, percentage wise, and this will get to our next point here. Percentage wise, for week one, 2006, kickers had an extra point percentage of 87.6%. 2007, same amount of games, 9. Okay. AFL kickers for extra points did an atrocious 82.1% kicking percentage, made extra point percentage. I think, okay, it's just a minor glitch. This is week one. Kickers are nervous. What is that crap? Kickers are nervous. Now, if you go forward to week two, 2006, kickers were at 83.3%. Okay, that is down 4.3% from week one of 2006. But week two this year, kickers were at 82%. 82%. Now, mind you, it is down slightly. Now, from last week, it was 82.1. But overall, week one compared to week two, I mean, kicking is down 3.3%. 3.3% when it comes to the extra points. The difference? They missed 31 through 2 weeks in 2006, and they've missed 45 already through 2 weeks in the AFL. Now, not only that, and this is going to our next point, I mean, I think that's one of the differences also. But another switcheroo that these new rules have shown, scoring is up through 2 weeks. And we're not just talking a little bit. We're talking a hell of a lot. So remember, same amount of teams playing each week, same amount of games each week, 9 games. Okay? Through week one, 2006, 820 points were scored at a clip of 91.1 points per game. Week 1, 2007, 916 points, 101.8 points per game. An increase of 10.7. 10.7 points, an increase. Okay, week 1 doesn't mean anything. Week 2 is even funnier. Week 2 of 2006, 856 points at a clip of 95.1 points per game. Now, 2007, new rules, substitution, not as tired, etc. Scoring should be down, better defenses. Well, to the tune of 952 points in week 2. At an average of 105.8 points per game. So each week, they have done better. Almost by 100 points from the previous year. So overall, they're averaging 103.8 points per game compared to 93.1 in 2006. Something sure has changed. I don't think, I got to think, by the end of the year, Elway's not going to have any hair left. Maybe he'll make some more changes. Some more. Who knows? At least he's off the rules committee. That's the main thing. Anyways, it's a very interesting to think about it. We're going to continue watching this all year long. And I think it can get very, very interesting, especially if scoring stays up. Will the league try to make some modifications to the rules? Who knows? They've, quote-unquote, brought back the Iron Man and the token award. But we'll see. Anyways, very interesting to notice, and if you yourself are noticing anything else that you used to notice out of the ordinary, shoot us send us an email here over at AFL Tonight. You can head over to the contact us section and choose AFL Tonight, and you can go ahead and shoot me over an email, and I'll make sure that I bring it up in the following show.
You are listening to AFL Tonight, presented by ArenaFan.com, celebrating 10 years as the complete arena football resource.
Now, I just want to mention one little tidbit before we get on with the rest of the show. I got an email from the Kansas City Brigade, and this is at least something that they wanted to pass along. It's from B. Carden. And I've gotten information from him before in the past, and he said, "I'm attempting to stop a firestorm before it starts. A reported trade involving Brigade wide receiver James Jordan to the Orlando Predators for Eddie Freeman is false. False. No deal has been struck between the two teams involving any players, and Jordan is still on the Brigade roster." It's funny that I received the email from him because of the information, of what went down. Michael Bishop was one of the bigger free agents signings over the off season. And what's funny, he came over from Grand Rapids, where he set the record for most rushing yards in a game, etc. He was actually traded. Michael Bishop was traded to the Grand Rapids Rampage. As we know, Chad Salisbury is out with a concussion. And it seems last week, Sparky McGuin seems to be playing their backup quarterback on special teams. Something doesn't make sense there. But now Michael Bishop's back with the Grand Rapids Rampage. And the funny thing, he was actually traded for somebody who was currently on the inactive roster, or the injured reserve, rather. IR, inactive roster, whatever. But now they are going to have the three quarterbacks on the roster. I think about it even more if I double check. I mean, that's absolutely crazy that had this many. Anyways, there have been positive reviews to him. There have been negative reviews to him coming back to the Rampage. I think a lot of Rampage fans are like, well, what is the total point of us having this many quarterbacks on the roster? As I said, Michael Bishop came over. They're right now their starting quarterback is Matt Sauk, who's not doing that poor of a job. I mean, they did score 69 points last week, but they just, when it came to Las Vegas wide receiver Prentice breaking the league record for nine, receiving touchdowns with nine. When you give up 79 points, yeah, usually in arena football, you're going to lose. But they also have, as I said, Matt Sauk. They also have, let me double check here. Have they made some modifications since we checked it last? They have. They've actually placed Mark Rylinski, who was playing on special teams. They've actually placed him on the practice squad now. So it looks like Bishop and Sauk are 1-2, with Sauk being the starter, until Chad Salisbury comes back from the injured list. So, interesting development. I don't know what that means. I know there was something in the paper recently, at least in the Canadian paper, talking about Bishop is saying he is going to come back. Because remember, there's the little tiff there between the CFL and the AFL and all the players coming down, like, Ryan Dinwiddie for Arizona, the backup quarterback. He says he's going to be, he has a clause in his contract that says he's going to be released before training camp or during training camp. My only thought is, what happens if Matt Sauk goes down, and what happens if Chad Salisbury goes down and he becomes the first string quarterback? Do you really think he's going to be so eager to leave? He does have a spot with, the Toronto Argonauts. Michael Bishop does, but that's months down the line. We've got a couple months to go before that actually comes up. So we'll keep an eye. We won't really keep an eye on it as close as some of this other stuff, but it should be interesting to say the least. We brought it up before, and it's something that we are going to continue to look at. I think we're going to probably go into it in a little bit of detail. I was hoping to get somebody to join me with this in talking about the quarterbacks. People wonder, are quarterbacks in the Arena Football League overpaid? Are they underpaid? Are they just making way too much for doing so little? For most players that make over the $100,000 mark, I would say that most of them are starting quarterbacks. Some may go to franchise players, which some of you may not know, only half of the salary goes towards the salary cap. But we wanted to start at least letting you in on the information that we have been able to attain. And we hope that all of you enjoy the information that we have. So this is what we're doing. We're going over the top 10 quarterbacks in the league when it comes to their current pay structure. And it's very interesting to say the least. Of the top 10 quarterbacks that we have listed that we're going to be mentioning, a grand total of six of them are currently in they only signed a 1-year contract, or they're in their last year of their current contract. Others have multiple year contracts, the most being a 3-year contract. And out of all those quarterbacks, and something that most people should know about, is number one paid quarterback in the league is Tony Graziani, the Philadelphia Soul. He became the AFL's highest paid player and highest paid quarterback in league history when he signed the contract. He's now getting paid an estimated $155,000 per year. Will he become a free agent? Will he resign with the Soul? I guess he did pretty well last week, so I guess it's just going to depend on what he's going to do this year, and does he want to stay with the Soul or go to another team? Number two on the list of quarterback salaries, and I think it's very interesting, and I think that we're going to try and get some more feedback, especially from you, the fans, on what you think about this. The number two quarterback pay in the AFL. Can any of you name it? Any of you? Any of you? Bueller? 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 Las Vegas quarterback Sean King. Rookie Sean King. It's a 2-year deal for Sean King. He's getting paid an estimated $142,500 per year. And he gets an increase to where he will become the second highest paid quarterback in league history. Okay. Granted, a lot of NFL experience. He had a monster game this past week. But I just do not see the point. Okay. Went to NFC Championship game. But I just can't see paying a rookie that amount of money without earning. You know, without earning it, showing what he can do in the league. You know, it's a new game. I mean, yeah, okay. The huge difference, obviously, between a 3-step and a 5-step drop. But getting used to the actual speed of the game, and even Kurt Warner admitted to it. But mind you, Kurt Warner did go from AFL to the NFL. Wasn't the other way around. Another way to see is, name is just totally escaped me. Quincy Carter. You know, he's gone over to the Bossier Shreveport Battle Wings. He's going down to AF2, so he's getting paid even less. But I just don't agree with Sean King being the number 2 paid quarterback in the AFL. Next would be Adrian McPherson. He's number 3 on the list. Now, he's had some AFL experience. He did well during his playing, but he's been also out of the league for a couple of years. But yet, then he comes in and signs a 3-year contract with increments, that go up every year. So he's the third highest paid quarterback in the league today at $131,670. I'm wanting to say million. Okay. He is a name, but he's been out of the league. I don't know. Is the AFL starting to outprice themselves when it comes to quarterbacks? Okay, he has the experience. Sean King does not have the experience. Now, when you hear the rest of this list, you're going to be saying, how the hell is Sean King paid so much more than these quarterbacks? League perennial, constant producer, one of the quarterbacks within the 700 club, Aaron Garcia. Maybe he's hurt, and he's hoping to come back and play this year. Trust me, the New York Dragons need him to be the savior. Aaron is the fourth highest paid quarterback in the league at $130,000. He's in his last year of his contract, too, from what the information tells us. Next person who is also looking to get into the AFL Hall of Fame, touchdown passer, been in the league for years, Clint Dozell. He's a relative steal at $120,000. Next to him is also Matt Nagy. He's getting paid $120,000 also. Now, the only difference between the two is Nagy seems to be on his last year of his contract, but Clint Dozell signed a 3-year contract worth $120,000. So he's set. You would think that there may be a little bit more money, or he would want a little bit more money, considering he's getting paid on average $20,000 less than Sean King. Next is the newest predator, Shane Stafford. He is making on average $115,000 for his 2-year contract. Andy Kelly looked like he was going to go off into mediocrity once the voodoo went where they were last year, went over to Utah, was finally able to start playing again. after some injury problems at quarterback for the Blaze. Kelly is the 8th highest paid quarterback in the AFL at $115,000. Next, John Dutton at 9 at $106,000, and that is a steal. John Dutton for $106,000 is an absolute steal. And Shedrick Bonner at $100,000. Shedrick Bonner at $100,000. I can understand cap issues or whatnot, but oh my lord. Crazy. So there you have it. We have the top 10 paid quarterbacks currently in the AFL. There's some very interesting stuff, especially numbers 2 and 3 with Sean King and Adrian McPherson. What's your feedback, guys? Let us know how you feel. Send us an email to AFL Tonight by going over to the Contact Us section. You can click on my name, Tim Capper, and send me an email, and let me know how you think, and I'll be more than happy to let you know specifically what you guys have thought, and give your feedback on the show. Now, last but not least, we're talking about the quarterbacks. Talk about being overpaid. What about quarterbacks that I think are the best deals in the AFL? And we have two of them. More particular, as we saw on, and I think everybody wasn't sure how this was going to happen, especially with all the changes at quarterback for LA. Gee, ding, ding, ding. There's a big hint. Sonny Cumbie is a steal when it comes to his pay at close to the league minimum, making a $32,500 a season. And then Matt D'Orazio of the champion Chicago Rush making $55,000. So, interesting to say the least. We hope to bring you more information on players, where they're ranked. Is it a steal? Are they being overpaid, etc.? This is just based on all the information that we have collected and that we have also received. So take it for what you will, but I think it's a very interesting conversation, especially when salaries in the AFL and the salary cap are always a big deal. You know, especially when teams have to currently spend 85% of their cap. And remember, you know, there's only 2 years left in the current CBA, going through 2010. So there might be an increase to minimums and per game pay, but that's a couple years down the line. At least it wasn't revoked. That's a good thing. You know, they always had the shot of doing that. So, and now an update on what is becoming, I think, a yearly tradition, and we're only in week 2, but it comes to down to the interesting to see what happens is the Magic 8-Ball versus humans. Week 1, Magic 8-Ball did absolutely atrocious in the standings as they got whipped by all the rest of us humans that are going up against him. But was able to rebound this past week with his picks. Currently how it sits is that this past week 8-Ball went 5-4 for a grand total of 7-4 on the season, and is currently placed 175th overall. There were not very many people had more than 5 wins across the board. I myself continued to go at 4-5, and I am only a game ahead of the Magic 8-Ball overall. But the two leading scores are at 11-7, with third place going to 10-8. Want to keep up to date on humans versus the Magic 8-Ball? You can go over to the specific thread over at the arenafan.com message board. And last segment we got here on the show this week is obviously talking about the upcoming games here in week 3. And with the change that they made to the schedule, every team having a bye week, this is actually the week where they're going to have 3 teams off this week, so there's only going to be 8 total games that it's going to be on the docket. And we got Columbus, Hunt, San Jose, and LA who are off this week. Find it funny, it's two teams that are in the Western Division, but anyways. Games start on Thursday. That's tomorrow, if you happen to be listening to the show, or today, whenever you're listening to it. Thursday the 15th, we've got Philadelphia heading into Grand Rapids. I don't know. Philadelphia just happened to look fantastic last week. Grand Rapids just seems to be in total disarray. It's these new rules, you know, where it comes to, they're giving up, Grand Rapids gave up a lot of points. It just seemed that they couldn't stop anybody. So it's going to be a tough game. I see Philadelphia going in there and just making a total mockery of it. Game will be will be broadcast on tape delay on CSN Philadelphia. On Friday, there's three games on the schedule. We got Austin heading into Orlando to play a very ticked off Jay Gruden. The game will be broadcast live on AFLNet. Orlando has something to prove. They just want to show, I think they scored it was the second lowest points of the year. Or it was the lowest points of the year. I mean, they only scored 37 points in an overtime game on top of that. They have third lowest points of the year. Fourth lowest points. Those damn rules. But I think that Orlando has something to prove. Austin's coming in. Adrian McPherson at the helm. I don't know. Austin's coming off a tough loss to the Georgia Force. I think it's do or die right now for the Predators to make sure that they stay and keep track with other teams in the Southern Division. So, but Austin has something to prove too, especially with it being a huge division game. Big game at Dallas heading to Kansas City. Brigade have just shown a lot of resilience over the past 2 weeks, and I really don't think this is gonna be the same team that was 5-12 last year. Dallas though, they are right now, number one seems to be in every single poll that is out there, being able to just seem to score at will, basically destroying, New York and Tampa in the process. I really don't think though that Kansas City is gonna have much of a chance this week. I got a feeling, unfortunately, all the Brigade fans are going to go home unhappy. Arizona at Colorado. I don't know. Damian Harrell is hurt somewhat. I mean, his streak of consecutive games with a touchdown is still alive after scoring two last week. Arizona, Shedrick Bonner. Wow. I mean, put on an amazing show last week, but lost to the Utah Blaze on a last-second touchdown. So he's going to have something to prove. Colorado, I don't know. I think it's just desserts that Colorado seems to be playing so poorly, considering the change that Elway has made to the league. In our minds here at AFL Tonight, Arizona can possibly squeak out a win out of this game. Two teams coming off losses on Saturday. The only game it is going to be broadcast on AFLNet and on Sirius Satellite Radio. Georgia heading into Tampa. Tampa needs to get off their ass so bad. They really need this win. They need to prove that they are still a perennial winner in the league. And Coach Markham just needs to get a win under his belt for the 2007 season, because it's killing them right now. They do not like the same Tampa Bay team of old. Now, mind you, losing Shane Stafford to Orlando didn't help much, but Kaleo doesn't seem to be what they need right now. Sunday, last three games that are on the docket, you have New York at Chicago. Unfortunately, I don't see this being any of a contest at all. Chicago, I think, will thoroughly dominate this game. This game will also be broadcast on Fox Sports Net New York and on Sirius Satellite Radio. Also, Utah heading into Nashville. Nashville just looks like they can't score any points at all. I just don't know what seems to be happening with Pat Sperduto and the Cats team. But even though it seems that, mind you, the way that the Utah's giving up points and can't seem to score, stop anybody, Nashville may actually score quite a few points, but I really think that Utah will pull this one out. That game is also going to be broadcast locally on two FSN affiliates, live on Rocky Mountain and on FSN Utah, and taped late on Fox Sports Net South. Last game of the week, and I think this one game will prove how good this team actually is. New Orleans heads to Vegas in Vegas's new home. This will be the first game for the Las Vegas Gladiators at the Orleans Arena, their first game out of the Thomas and Mack Center. And this game will be also on AFLNet and broadcast locally on Cox Sports. New Orleans and Kelly, I think they, after coming off their win last week, especially the way they did it over Columbus and the 17,000 screaming fans in the graveyard of New Orleans, and Vegas with Prentice and Sean King, they just need to see how well they stack up. I mean, this game could be a barn burner for all we know, but they seem to be pretty consistent. You would have thought New Orleans coming in with so many players that they had lost because of the switch over to the Kansas City Brigade and how many stayed and all the rookies that they have. You thought this team would not be as good as they are, but they just seem to be clicking. Something about Mike New and being able to get this team going. I mean, it's not the same team that was in the league and played so well the first 2 years, but this team is showing great heart. So that game should be great to watch. And as I said, it's going to be on AFLNet. So we got three games on AFLNet this weekend. Hopefully you'll be able to catch one or most of them, whether you're there in person or you join us watching the games while joining us in the Arena Fan chat room. So as we look at it, of all the games that we have currently going on this weekend, our AFL Tonight pick of the week, it is the New Orleans Voodoo and the Las Vegas Gladiators game. I think it has the biggest potential of being the most exciting game, and it does have a little bit more emphasis than I think than some of the other games. I mean, but we'll see. It's early. Teams that are 0-2, we're not expecting them to be, but then there's some teams that are tied or leading the division that is totally out of the norm. But then again, it is the AFL, and as we know, anything can happen. So that's it for AFL Tonight this week. I want to thank everybody who joined us. Thank also our crack staff here at AFL Tonight for getting us all the information that we bring to you. You can join us each week here on the AFL Fancasts. AFL Tonight should be updated every Tuesday every Tuesday or Wednesday before the games get started. And give us feedback. You know, we're looking for it. So if you have anything that you want to mention to us, just shoot us over an email, and we'll be more than happy to get your comments on the air. So everybody here at AFL Tonight, I am Tim Capper. I want to thank you for joining us again. Enjoy the games this week, and make sure you watch the rebounds off the nets.
ArenaFan.com, celebrating 10 years as the Internet's complete arena football resource.
Mission Control, 2049er, transmission concluded.